Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Once again, here he is, Dan Mahler.
Thanks, guys, for letting me come. I'm having a good morning. You tore it up, man, you guys. That was amazing. That last song we sang, somebody gets it. Somebody understands what the blood accomplished. Think about it. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm righteousness. Come on, a lot of us were raised up. I don't know your roots and background. A lot of us were raised up with a total contrary thought, faced with our reality of our ability to miss it. And sometimes we think our ability to miss it labels us as who we are. But what he accomplished is who we are. Paul didn't write to the sinners of Ephesus. And he didn't write to those who are about to miss it any time now. Miss Melinda, I appreciate you. Who could see? You can do things because they're right, or you can do things because it's who you are inside. Amen? Listen, here's the deal. You can come to church on a service like this, on a morning like this, for a lot of reasons, but every one of us that I'm looking at is the steward of your own heart. And I want to encourage you in something. Man, always get a strong why behind everything you're doing. And understand why you're doing what you're doing, and come with strong purpose. I understand that there's a lot of reasons for the local church, and we could sit and list them and take the time to list them. But I promise you that the Lord never intended Sunday morning service or midweek service to be a shot in the arm for the body of Christ. Ever. The Bible says that we don't forsake this kind of gathering because we're to stir one another up in love and good works. This whole thing is about an inflow and an outflow. It's about your life being transformed back to the image of God. It's about you and I becoming one with the Father again. And along the way, we've all bumped into so many teachings that creates a strong self-focus and all about going to heaven and about what God can do for us. But the truth is, it's all about Him making us more like Him. It's all about us coming together and gathering together to be touched by God in such a way that when we leave, we look more like our Father than we ever did before. It's all about the outflow. Freely you've received, freely give. And I'm just filled with good news in my heart. I don't purpose to encourage. I'm just really encouraged. I'm saved. My life has been changed for 17 years. I don't know how to not be excited about that. Like, this gospel hasn't gotten old or dim or traditional to me. It's alive every day. And like, I have never woke up to try to be a Christian. I don't know what that means. I'm not waking up to live the Christian life. I'm waking up a son. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm free. God's Spirit lives in me because He wants to. Like, I'm prime real estate. I'm a house fit for a king. He made me meet and ready and fit for Him. And I'm excited about that. So it's a big deal to keep your own personal heart stirred up. Or here's the thing. Life will start speaking louder than the truth. And all of a sudden you become a product of what you're going through instead of a product of what He went through. And all of a sudden these things start chipping away, and next thing you know, you're driving toward the gospel to get help from God instead of being changed by God and living from that perspective and facing your life. And it's a big deal what I'm telling you about that right now. You can get needs driven, or you can be moved by love, and you can be moved by faith and covenant and that God is with you. And that song we sang just really grabbed me about no matter what I've been through and what scars and battles it seems, I have never been alone. It's amazing. See, it's never about what you're going through in adversity. It's the one that's in you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was never about the fire. It was about the one they worshiped. You see, we don't even have a need to answer you about your fire. This isn't even about the fire. It's about the God we believe in. It wasn't about their lives. It wasn't about what they were about to be inconvenienced by. It was about the one we are surrendered to and wholly given to. And in that place, the king had no authority over them, no power over them. And that fourth man showed up in that furnace. And I believe them guys were passionate and excited when they got out of that flame. And you know the cool thing? They didn't need prayer. They didn't have the smell of smoke. They didn't say, "Pray for me, brother. I've been through a tough time." They had to be so alive and so pumped. Why? Because the focus was always on who their lives were living for and what it was really all about. And it wasn't about what they were going through. It was about the one they adore. Amen? So I just want to cheer you on that, man. It's so easy to come and gather and get in a routine and even struggle at home to get here and get here on time and just, oh, we made it, you know? And it's way deeper than that. We're in love and we can gather and enter into a celebration time of the one we love and the one we've enjoyed all week long and the one that's manifested through us days going by. And then we gather together and have this corporate celebration of like faith, God reality, and just, wow, we're one big family. You see what I mean? Amen. I'm going to share this little bit with you, and I got some time here. The gospel. I don't know about you, but my whole life I heard Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. He died on the cross because I'm a sinner. And now Pastor Dave is going to let me finish this out. He won't call the ushers to escort me out of here. This isn't blasphemy what I'm about to say. Because we heard our whole life that Jesus died on the cross because we're sinners. But I read in my Bible, I got to check in my Bible out because my whole life I was sin conscious. Whoever was sin conscious in your Christian life and you were struggling and waking up and trying to live better, trying to do better, trying not to sin. Who can relate to that mentality? Let me see your hands if that's an honest thought. See, there's a lot of people. In fact, it's almost a corporate raising of hands that we get this idea. And that is not how grace flows. That's not where we live from. We live where He finished. Where He finished is where we start. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because unless you put your faith in what He finished, you won't receive the grace that truly transformed your life, and you'll fight a battle that's already won. You'll try to be something you already are. See, we get real fruit conscious in the church, because Jesus says stuff like, "You know them by their fruit," so we go, and we look at our tree all the time, and we're wondering what people see when they look at our tree. And we're like these great fruit inspectors, and we're always thinking, "I don't have enough fruit, I should be doing better." And then we get striving to try to produce more and try to look cleaner and look better. And you can even put on a facade to just be a church folk, you know? And it's like not the way it is. It's not about the fruit, it's about the tree. If you make a tree good, the fruit's good. So it's all about your being and your state of being. It's all about who you are and knowing who you are. Because if you can make the tree good, you got guaranteed good fruit. See, Jesus says stuff like, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. And we hear those scriptures and go, and we think of something in our life and go, "I ain't a good tree." And then we try to fix the fruit problem. What He's talking about is not knowing who you are. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. So all of a sudden, we start seeing the value of our life, why Jesus really came, and that's what I'm about to explain. Because living by faith and receiving grace is a very simple thing. It's called a love relationship with the Father. It's not trying to live the Christian life. You're in love. He came to love you, to embrace you, to live inside of you, and manifest His great name through your life. Even He calls us the embodiment of Christ. We're the picture of Jesus. Corinthians says, to God, we're the fragrance of His Son. It says that through us, He'll diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge everywhere.
That's different than going to church. That means we are the church. Amen? And we've all heard that phrase, but it's real. That means everywhere you go, you're called to be an influence. Everywhere you go, you carry the nature of God. On your job, everywhere you are, without pressure, without trying to do it, you've become it because you're in love and have relationship with Him. Now, if you let this sin conscious thing get in your way and you start trying to be something that the blood's already made you, you'll find a veil over your face. It keeps you from intimacy. When you get alone with God, you'll get self-conscious. You'll take 20 minutes trying to get past all your weaknesses and tell them to God before you can even let Him love you. And I've met a lot of folks that do that. They get alone with God and they try to have communion with God and they close up and freeze up and clam up and they don't know what to say because they're smack face to face with themselves. Jesus already knows you and already loved you. And while you were yet a sinner, He sent His Son. And if he sent his son and reconciled us while we were enemies, how much more will he save us now through his life that he lives at the right hand of Almighty God? That's Romans 5. It's in there, man. I have favor with God. Amen? But here's the deal. We thought that he died on the cross because we're sinners. Matthew says he came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Your created value and my created value was lost when man ate the tree in the garden. Didn't he say to Adam, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die? So when Adam ate the tree, he didn't fall over dead. You read that and go, well, he didn't die. Yes, he did. It's the day you die. Who you are is going to die. When Adam ate the tree, the image of God and what he was created to be was lost. And man became a god unto himself and left alone apart from the image of God and looked nothing like he was created to look from the beginning. Let us make man in our image, and in the likeness of God, he made man. Every human being I'm looking at in the sanctuary, that's your created root value. That's the Father's purpose in making man, that we be found in his image. Sometimes we think that Jesus is just the way to heaven. No, he's the way for heaven to get back inside of us. He's the way to get back one with the Father. Did he die because I'm a sinner? Or did he have to die because we all sinned? He died because I'm a lost son. He died because I was created for him and for his image. And the reason that he died was to get back that which was lost when Adam ate the tree. And that's my created value, my destiny, my potential, and my legacy. He wanted to take care of sin so much that he would get it completely off of us, that it was as if we've never sinned again, and then breathe life back into us and start over again through the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That's why in John 20, he breathed on them and didn't just say, be filled with Holy Spirit. He breathed on them because he took us back to our created value when God formed the dirt and breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living being. When he ate the tree, that thing died, called the image of God and the nature of God, and the Spirit of God in him died. And when Jesus raised from the dead, the first thing he did after he put the blood on the mercy seat and said, Mary, don't cling to me. He said, or Mary, don't cling to me. I haven't ascended yet to the Father. What did he didn't take his blood yet and do the Hebrews 9 fulfillment of with his own blood into the holy place and apply it to the heavenly tabernacle of the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle. He didn't do that yet. He said, don't cling to me. It doesn't mean he didn't want her to touch him. He didn't want a fellowship. He had to go finish this thing and make peace through his blood. Then he shoots back to earth the same evening, the same day. And the first thing out of his mouth to his boys is peace to you guys. Why? Romans 5:1, you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified by faith. Come on, your life must be so valuable. Your life must be so worth living if the Son of God shed his blood for you. God seems to think his son dying is worth you living. My whole life, the gospel revealed my fault to me the way I heard it preached. The gospel exposed sin. The gospel told me to straighten up and clean up my act. And now I understand the gospel reveals my value, that I'm a pearl of great price to God the Father. It doesn't matter really what men seem to think or judge or presume. God thinks that his son dying is worth me living. And he wants to live inside of me to manifest who he is through me so the world can see. Let your light so shine, church. He said, you are the light of the world. I thought that was Jesus. Well, it is, and he lives in us. And he said, now you're the light of the world. It's not this little light of mine. You are the light of the world. You get it? Come on. Did he die on the cross because we're sinners? He died on the cross because we sinned. He had to die because we sinned, but he died on the cross to redeem that which was lost. What was lost? The image of God in man. That's why Jesus was beat beyond description on the cross, before the cross. Before the cross, he was marred, Isaiah 52, more than any of the sons of men. Come on. The worst barbaric act they ever did to man, Jesus was marred worse. That means when they were done beating Jesus, he was unrecognizable. You couldn't tell who he was. Whew. What a beating. What a God. He sure must know that our lives are worth something to take a beating like that. Why did he have to get beat beyond recognition? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be.
So Jesus took what we became so we could become what He is, a son. And He bore our image so we could bear His. And He got beat unrecognizable so that we could take on His spirit and become the image and the love of Almighty God. We sing songs in the church, not in this church, but we sing songs in the church because you guys won't let that happen, and I'm proud of you for that. But isn't there songs out there that talk like it's a strange thing, God's love, and who could imagine God's love, and why would He love someone like me? He loves who He created us to be. He loves your root created value that goes back to the beginning. Do you get that? What He paid the price for is the real you that you never saw before, but He knew always. That's why people that have done grossly negligent and terrible and ungodly and things in the secret feel like there's no way God can love them. The only reason you did those things is because you had no clue who you were. You had no clue the value of your life. You were in the dark. Remember Jesus, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. What a God. What a lover. They know not. Listen, the only reason a man is bound to something is because he doesn't see who he is. The only reason he expresses the way he does is because he's in identity crisis and he doesn't know the truth. And then we think we got to straighten him out and tell him to knock it off, rather than tell him his life is more than that. I just picked up a homeless man a little while back, and I don't tell the story much, but it comes to my heart sometimes, and just now it is. But I picked a homeless man up not long ago. I saw him up an alley 2 blocks away, and he was walking across the alley. I didn't know he was intoxicated. I thought he was limping. And he had it looked like a cast on his foot. And it was actually a towel. But when I saw him limping, I thought, man, I got time. I got to go love on that guy. He broke his foot or something. I'm just going to go pray for him. So I bolted the whole way up the alley because I saw this guy limping with a cast. And the heart of God in me just said, hey, just go love on him and pray for him. That'll be fun. So I ran the whole way up, 2 blocks up the alley. When I got to him, I bump into a alcohol-filled homeless man with a towel wrapped around his foot. And I thought, whoa, he doesn't have a cast. He ain't limping. He's drunk. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, you're hitting the bottle pretty hard, huh? Oh, yeah, man, I was hitting the bottle hard. Feces all over his pants. You have no idea. It was so bad. He smelled really bad. A towel wrapped around his foot. I said, man, I thought you had a cast on. I ran up this alley. I was going to pray for you. I wanted to bless you. I thought you hurt your foot. Oh, no, that's my shoe. That's your shoe? Yeah, that's my shoe. Pulls up his other pants leg and the shoe is barely hanging on his foot. It's about ready to fall off, and this one already did, so he just wrapped a towel around it and put some tape on there. Duct tape. Well, I got tears in my eyes and I said, dude, you got to get in my car. I ended up taking him to Walmart. He said, why are you doing this with me? I said, the real question is, why wouldn't I do this? Why would you do this for me? I said, you answer this question, why wouldn't I? Isn't that the real question? I get to Walmart, I walk in, it was something, man, to watch people. We're freaked out by situations like this. We're overwhelmed by it. And all they need is love. It just needs some doorway of love. Some kind of seed to get in them that can grow. They're so beat down. He's already homeless. He's so stereotyped. He's already mad at people. I know he has issues. I understand that. I get that. But trying to tell him to change that isn't going to change a thing now. Life has gone by. And he believes his lies. And it's what he's become, and it's not who he is. And it's not, well, you need to knock off the bottle and you're hurting yourself and you're killing yourself. Well, you need to stop drinking and get yourself to a church, brother. He needs to see Jesus. He needs to have hope. He needs to know that in his lowest of low, he's more than that low. And there he goes through Walmart. He's just like that, going through Walmart. And I mean, people are like splitting like the Red Sea, baby. Like, oh my God, what is he doing in the store? It was bad. He was really bad. And I'm just talking to him, and he's like, I can't believe you're doing this for me. I just can't. I said, well, believe it, man. On the way there, he said, why are you doing it? I said, you don't understand the gospel at all, do you? And I just explained Jesus to him. And unconditional love. So I bought him a whole new wardrobe. Walmart's amazing. $70, man. I dressed this dude, believe me. I was like, thank you, Jesus, for Walmart. $70, man. He puts on these brand new starter sneakers. He's walking. He's looking at them. He's like, I got new sneakers. Oh, it blessed me. I got all these nasty clothes on a pile. I got this old nasty towel. I mean, it's a nasty towel. Now, I ain't afraid of that towel. I ain't bothered by all that stuff. I'm in the Holy Ghost. I ain't worried about that. But I'm thinking about people and grossed out in the store. And this young kid comes by with a big garbage can, 18 years old, because I asked him. I know how old he was because I asked him. But I said, hey, buddy. I said, is that empty? He said, no, it's pretty full. I said, do we got any room? He said, why? I need your help. I whispered, I said, I got this homeless man. He said, you don't even know him? I said, no. He said, why would you do this for him? I said, he asked me the same thing. I said, here's my question to you, son. Why wouldn't I? Watch what an 18-year-old said. Whoa, dude. That's what he said, that's an awesome view, man. He said, man, if the whole world would think like that. The 18-year-old got that. Just out of that one phrase, that one question, why wouldn't I? So I get him up to the cash register. I'm holding all these receipts. He's wearing everything. I said, oh, man. I said, listen, because we picked all that nasty stuff up and got rid of it. It's out of the way now. He looks like a new man. Religion says, oh, yeah, what'd you accomplish? You know, he's just going to be dirty in 2 days and he's going to drink again tonight. You just enabled him just to go another day clean. In the outward. He needs to clean the inside of the cup, brother. Well, you better be careful with your pop-off presumptuous thoughts. Really. Because that's what we think. Paid for his stuff. The cash register lady, I whispered. I said, listen, I don't want to... blah, blah, blah. He's already exploited enough. I did this. I hope it doesn't matter. But she says, no. She said, you don't even know this man? I said, no. She said, why would you buy him all these? I said, you're the third person that asked me that question. I said, really? Let's flip the question. Why wouldn't I? And she went, oh, bless you, sir. And I'm thinking, I am so blessed. It's ridiculous. My heart is so free. But she's, oh, bless you. And I'm thinking, and I paid for everything. And we walked out, and the whole way back, I'm taking him back in town. He's saying, I can't believe you did this for me. I can't believe you. And I said, listen, man, I got on him a couple times. He was breaking. The Lord started to show me his life and why he got this way. And when I touched that stuff, he was losing it, boy. And he's starting to cry, but he don't want to cry. And he's trying to look out the window. And it's pretty hard to get away from me. I'm in a truck with him and I'm aggressive. And as he's doing that, I'm reaching right over and putting my hand right on his chest. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for your love coming upon Billy. I even think I threw in a couple little other tongues things in there. I just get up. But I'm just blessing him. So we get to the corner, and I'm dropping him off. And I said, now listen, Bill, I got to get going now, man. We've been together an hour and a half, and I got to get running. And I said, I need you to jump out for me, buddy, but you stay blessed. I don't know when I'll ever see you again, because I was passing through this town. And I said, I'm not from around here, but man, what an honor to meet you today and hopefully encourage you and bless you and give you some of the things you need. Man, the Bible says, you see a man in need. And you have the goods, and you don't give him what he needs. How is the love of God even in you? Says there's a man naked and cold, or hungry and cold. He said, don't be so spiritual and just say, bless you, brother. Be warm and be filled in Jesus' name. He says, no, give him the clothes he needs and feed him something. and then get spiritual with him. Isn't that what your Bible says in James? Now, I know we don't always have the capacity all the time to stop for every homeless person we see, but just think if one of us or each of us would touch somebody at that level every once in a while, everybody I'm looking at some point would just be that outward. We would impact our society, wouldn't we? Not a church event, not a church outreach, just Jesus in the flesh. If we don't get what I'm saying this morning, see, you'll get consumed by life and life will speak loud and you have so many needs you won't see past your own stuff. Come on, my ducks aren't in a row. There's so many things in my life I would love to see change. I'm not a joyful man because my ducks are in a row. I'm a joyful man because the Spirit of God lives in me and salvation has come. You get it? He's sitting in my truck. I said, get out of my truck, man. You got to go. Hurry up. Come on. And he wouldn't get out. He's just sitting there. Now, he never looked me in the eye the whole time. If you've ever been around folks in his condition, they won't. They're beat down. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who spends times on the street and with people? And folk? They're beat down. They don't eyeball you. Even if they talk, they'll look to the side. Well, he hadn't looked me in the eyes the whole time. And I've done nothing but love him for an hour and a half. But he has 50 years of suppression and pressed down, beat down, believe, lies, unforgiveness, hurt. But an hour and a half I had to spend with him. Watch what happened. It wrecked me. I couldn't even drive. I had to push him out of my truck. I said, get out of my truck. He's sitting there. And I could tell he wanted to say something. And he was antsy. And he was trying to move to the door. But he wouldn't move. And he was hesitating. You know what I mean? And he said, well, okay. You know, And I'm like, okay, Bill, what's on your heart, man? Just say it, bud. But I got to get rolling. And et cetera. And he just turns his head. He said, well, he looks me dead straight in the eyeballs. Dead straight in my eyes, John. He said, you know, I think I can say I love you. And I lost it. I just started to cry. And the Spirit of God came upon me. And he said, no man loves me first, but except that he sees my first love, and you are the expression of my love. And I bawled and bawled and realized how we, if we're not careful as the church, are trying to tell him to straighten up instead of just giving him first love. Trying to tell him why he's the reason for his mess instead of just giving him first love so you can finally have access to his heart and deal with the lies and get him straight. The Holy Spirit came upon me. This man, Billy, a street fellow for years, looks me in the eyes and says, I think I can say, I love you. And I said, look, Billy. Oh my God. I said, Billy, you got to go, man. Get out of my truck. Have a good day. I had to go. I was just crying. I pulled up the road a little. I said, woo. And the Holy Spirit is pouring on me. People need to see who I am. It's not about them changing. They need to see who I am. They need to know who I am. And he told me that I have the great honor of revealing that. Guess what honor you have? Guess why we're here? To stir one another in love and good works. To put off the things that never produced anything anyway. And put on Christ Jesus.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force.
Satisfy your soul. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search this wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you've found the Lord. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Thank you for listening to our program today.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.